In this episode, it's a cautionary tale from a photographer who was recently hacked. Hey guys, I'm back with another interview for you. This time I'm talking with my friend AD Wheeler. He goes by AD. He's the guy behind the Explorographer. You can find that at explorographer.com. It's hard for that to roll off my tongue. Explorographer.
Yeah, and there's a the before that, so it's the Explorographer.
The Explorographer. Theexplorographer.com is where you can find him. And AD is a travel photographer. He's a gear nut. He is a, you know, he's kind of just like me. I think you are the Midwestern-ish kind of that side of the country version of me, I think.
Yeah, I think what it is when we finally get together, there's going to be like, it's like the Hadron Collider. People don't realize.
Yeah,
that we finally have met. And yeah, so I'm excited. It's you're going to come to New York and hang out a little bit, and I'm hoping I'm going to be able to hang out with you. That'll be cool. For sure.
Yeah, that will be cool. And the other thing that is why we're talking is because we were talking on a phone call yesterday. You recently came through the gauntlet of being hacked. Like literally someone seized control of your computer while you were home and were essentially the ghost of that person was sitting at your computer buying stuff, which is kind of the doomsday scenario for most people. Take us through that. What happened?
Well, yeah. So like I'm a big fan. I'm a geek, a nerd or whatever. We were talking about that too. And I'm really into, you know, I've been on the internet. I've been involved with computers for a long, long time, since the 80s. Let's just put it that way. We'll leave it there. So, you know, there's a bit of complacency that comes with that. I also like to think of myself as a fairly humble person. So I don't, you know, no matter what happens or, you know, what we go and do in life, I still feel very grateful about everything. And I never feel like I'm making, you know, a name for myself or whatever. I'm just doing what I do. And so I really don't worry about internet security all that much. Serious security. I mean, I secure where I need to, credit cards, that sort of stuff. So I feel safe, right? You feel safe. And I guess I got a little complacent. It was the weirdest thing. We were talking earlier, I do some overnight work sometimes, and I was working an overnight on my birthday, and I got my phone started ringing off the hook with notifications, and I'm of course one eye open, right, trying to look at my phone. You know, you're basically holding your phone up in front of your face, trying to figure out what your notifications say. You're half awake, and it was my PayPal account was just ringing off the hook with purchases. That was the worst alarm clock to wake up ever. If you're trying to make a new alarm clock, don't make that one, because I was in a panic. I ran into my computer, you know, and the computer was up and running. It hadn't gone to sleep, which was a little weird. So make a long story short. Yeah. It was totally Mr. Robot all over the place. Someone hacked into my desktop. They were controlling my desktop and they were literally using my browser. Which, you know, leave my browser open, right? I mean, you know, I'm working. I just was working overnight. I left my browser, going to take a nap, come back, dig right back in. And yeah, and big mistake, because I had a breach of my firewall, and they found the one little thing that you could have open. They found it. And, you know, it just made me realize that, like, you know how vulnerable I really was. And I spent the whole week this week just locking down. Everything is so tight, you know, and I don't like to be that way. I don't like to feel like I've got to protect myself with a giant wall.
Yeah. But at the same time, it's kind of like, you know, you suffer any kind of traumatic event like that, you're going to overcompensate the other direction to make sure that there's no possibility of it happening again, whether it be, you know, a break-in, a fire, flood, car crash, you know, after right. you have a car accident, you're driving like a 90-year-old lady from, you know, Poughkeepsie for the next couple of years, right?
So yeah. And as we talked to, I felt very violated. When I first sat down at the computer and I was working with PayPal and some of the other people that were helping me with this, really, I sat here and I began to wonder if someone actually came into my house physically and sat at my computer. I had those feelings, you know. I knew that wasn't it, but I mean, yeah, I got up from the computer. I went down, you know, I'm looking at the security system that we have. I'm like, no, there definitely was nobody here. How could this happen to me? And of all people, because I'm always, you know, of course, being the cocky guy, I'm always walking, oh, I never get a virus. I never get, you know, this. I never get, then I don't. I really don't. And it's when you have, when you get that way is when it's going to happen to you. So I learned a lot this last week about what people will go through. I think it's interesting. I follow a guy on YouTube called Prince EA. I don't know if you know him. He's a really awesome, he's kind of like a poet, but he's a very cool philosopher kind of guy on YouTube, and he's very positive. And so I'm taking a different view. I'm looking at, like, someone hacked me for a lot of, it was a lot of money. And you know, and when I say a lot of money, to me, it was a lot of money. It was over $8,000 that they had charged.
Did you say 80 or eight?
$8,000.
Okay. All right. So for it's me, still a lot of money. Still a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah. That puts a dent in the pocket. And so for me, you know, I start to realize, like, what people will go through sometimes. Now, I was a victim of a hack here a little while ago, too. And I watched one of his videos. It was very cool about what we're driven to in society, that we feel that we have to do this to, you know, what, how bad is it that we've got to try to do this to other people to get money for whatever purposes. Now, this hack was for equipment. So I know it was, you know, malicious hackers. I know where it came from. I know basically the target, the whole nine yards, and I know what they tried to order and everything. So unfortunately they left themselves pretty vulnerable to my system recording what they were doing, which is something that I do just on my own in case someone, I'm worried about people breaking in my house. So I got a security system on my house, right? So I figure, oh yeah, we're pretty safe. And, you know, never do you think that they're going to just to hack into your network. And it was, I had one security vulnerability that I use personally that was locked with a PIN code, but here's where the unsafe part comes in that. The particular program that I ran, it runs on a PIN code. It's not guarded by a watchdog system. So if someone wants to brute force my connection and find out what the PIN is, they just keep hitting it until the PIN hits. So they could just, they could have been sourcing me for months and it finally hit and went, yep, we've got his remote desktop PIN. And we're
just brute force is just trying random combinations of numbers until it finds one that's the right one.
Exactly. And I told you, you know, I had a brush with this when I was younger, so I kind of know some of the inside stuff and how it works. They use a dictionary file that's basically a compiled file that just keeps growing and growing and growing like a database. And it's of words and of passwords and phrases and things like that. And if you're, you know, on the underside of the net, it's a pretty known thing that you can get your hands on this database file with a collection of passwords in the world that have worked. Mm-hmm. And so, but when it comes to PINs, they're just basically using, you know, a six digit or five digit, whatever, four digit. I had a six digit, which I thought two extra digits, most people use four, which I've always felt is really insecure. Just four digits. I mean, zero to nine. I mean, that's not a lot of combinations really, for a computer, especially to figure out. So, yeah, I just felt it wasn't that insecure, but you know, it was.
But then, okay. So then, you know, there's two different kinds of hackers, and you touch, there's many different kinds of hackers, but there's the people that are just doing it for the challenge and to see, you know, and, you know, those people are generally helpful, right? Because they're exploiting and exposing vulnerabilities in a system, you know, to say, hey, I got in this way. And then whoever made that system can then patch it and then, you know, wait for the next hack. But then there's the nefarious hackers that are doing what happened to you is where, when people get hacked and, you know, you get thousands of dollars stolen away from them in that. So there's this other thing we were talking about. There's this, the ransom type hack. Yeah, tell us about that.
Well, ransomware. Basically a hacker will get a piece of code onto your computer. It's a virus. It's a malware virus. And what it does is it starts encrypting your files with a key. And so what it's doing is using your own encryption against you. So it'll get on your computer. It'll spread through a USB. I think you sent me a thing about the whole spread over air USB thing.
The air gap. Yeah,
that's
air gap.
Absolutely scary stuff there too. Thank you for that. I didn't sleep the whole night after reading that. But they'll get the nefarious code. It'll get on your computer somehow, whether it's through an email link or whatever. Once it's in your computer, it silently works in the background. It's not detectable through virus because it masks itself as a standard program. And what it does is just goes through and just, when you're not around, it's changing the encryption on all of your files. And one day you come in and your files are locked, and a beacon goes out to the owner of the code, and that owner will contact you and say, I've locked your files, and if you want them back and you want the key, here's where you're going to wire the money to. Oh, now, the mistake that people make is that they think they're going to get a key, they pay for it. And the fact of the matter is that you'll never get the key. And you'll always pay for it. So as long as you're willing to bend to it, they're going to drain you for as much money as they possibly can.
It's like, we will not negotiate with terrorists.
You're better off cutting your losses. And here's the thing. It led me to, we talked about the building of this box, which is backup now for all of my stuff. Hey,
and that's 40 terabytes sitting right there, right?
40 terabytes. Hack my system, down my computer, and I press a button and it comes back the next day. That's the way we got to play, which I don't want to play that way. I think it's better.
But everybody can't do that. So the average photographer that's listened to this is probably, you know, scared now, thinking, you know, my computer's, you know, it makes me want to unplug my modem at night. You know, it makes sure that I'm my house is an island.
Hey, you know? And you know what? If you're not using your internet at night, that is the most awesome security that you possibly can use, because that is when hackers are trying to get into your system, is in those off hours. They're not going to do it while you're sitting at your computer. No hacker is like hacking my computer while I'm sitting here, because they know I'll see it. They know I'll stop it. They know, you know, that somebody will recognize something's wrong. Yeah. We're connected to these things a lot, so we know when something doesn't work properly or isn't functioning properly. So they do it in the off hours. So I, you know, yeah, if you're not running a server or something like that, and if you are, you probably already know all the security stuff anyway. So, you know, I don't do that. I used to run a web server and all that stuff out of my house. And I knew, you know, I had all the security. My firewall was, you know, let two ports through and all that kind of stuff, but not anymore. And so I got complacent. And, you know, it's one of those things that I would like to say, if a hacker is watching this, if the guy who hacked me watches, man, do good. I mean, you should hack for the good reason. Don't hack for, you didn't get anything out of this. I mean, I stopped it before it happened. And I think that, you know, if you're out there and you can exploit this sort of stuff, try to help people protect themselves. I think that's a better route. You're going to make better money at it.
Yeah.
And you're not going to end up in jail at some point in time, because that's going to happen.
Well, speaking of protecting yourself, you mentioned the whole database of passwords that some hackers will use to gain brute force entry into your system.
Yes.
What are some best practices for passwords? And a lot of people still have their password as password, or their birthday, or, you know, something easy to guess like that, so that they don't forget it, you know, which is obviously where I would start if I was trying to hack somebody's machine.
Sure.
But what are some ideas for best practices on how to pick a more secure password?
Well, I think it's important, without giving anything away, as far as my security goes, I believe that password lockers are the best way to go. They're encrypted lockers that you can hold one master password to, make it a difficult password, not anything easy. You only have one password to remember. Mm-hmm. To get you into a locker, which will autofill and take care of an encrypted link to the websites on your phone and everything else. Now, the only way they get hacked is on a major data breach, which I have been involved in. I was involved in the Adobe major breach, where Adobe had a huge breach and it compromised Gmail all over the place. You know, there's a couple of really cool sites. There's one that's called, and I can give you the links so that we can forward these with the video. One is called Have I Been Pawned, I think. And basically it tells you if your emails have been part of any major data breach. So you can enter your email. It's very safe. You can enter your email and it will go out and it doesn't store your email or anything. It just checks to make sure that you haven't been part of it. And another one, if you're not sure if your password is safe, there's a website called Haystack out there that literally will allow you to type in a password. Now, you can type in any password you want. And it will tell you what the hack probability is and how long it would take for a hacker to basically hack your passwords.
I would be afraid of that site, though. I'd be afraid that site is gathering passwords.
Well, here's the thing, though. If you think about it, there'd be no way to really do that. It could gather passwords, but what I do is put in something that I think I'm going to model my password after. Mm-hmm. So I have taken on a modeling system with my passwords. So I've adapted something that's easy for me to remember that I can do on my keyboard that is simple for me and difficult for the hacker. So without giving anything more away there, that's basically how I do that. But I use, you know, a password locker. That's to me is the best way so to.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I use a fingerprint lock to open it. So, I mean, it's not even, you know, it's not even a password locked locker. I mean, unless you got a fingerprint like mine, you're not going to get in. So
that's cool. Yeah, I use one called 1Password. You're on Windows, I'm on the Mac. Yeah. And there's a couple on the Mac, but one that I just been using for years is called 1Password.
Yep.
And it's very similar to that. And when I and 1Password will even generate long form, like really long military style passwords with punctuation and weird characters in there that people could never guess. Which I tend to do as well. And then, you know, I have my sort of rotational password that I use to access 1Password, which I change often.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's the best practice there. It's great. And LastPass is another, a popular one to use too. They have apps for all of the, operating systems. So yeah, and LastPass does the same thing. It has the auto generate. It'll actually generate on a schedule for you, so you don't even have to do it. So you can just say, once every 2 months, can you please change the password on this? And it'll remind you, or it'll do it itself. They've got some automation there that'll actually change your passwords
That's
for you.
Cool.
And you, that is and really this cool. is the great thing about it. You don't really, I mean, you can look and see what your password is if you're logged into the app with your thumbprint. But I mean, I don't even know. Like, if you ask me what my Facebook password is right now, I'd be like, boo, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I use my thumb.
You'd never really guess it. Yeah. And that's the other thing. Like, what is it? The Apple kind of pioneered the whole, you know, or one of the pioneers of the whole biometric entry into your phone with the thumbprint, the thumb scanner thing. And then Samsung with the Galaxy 7, which is out now, they have a retina scanner in there. Have you seen that?
I haven't. I have a 7 Edge and I didn't know that. I'm going to have to look at it, man. That's
cool. The new one has an infrared retina scan in there. So you can just hold it up. It'll scan your eye, which is supposed to be more secure than your fingerprint somehow. So,
right.
It's crazy. It's cool that stuff is here, but it's also sad that we need that stuff because, you know, it's.
Well, that's the part of it that I kind of look at the other side. And, you know, part of me is like, you could be angry, but the other part is kind of like, I'm angry for a different reason, not really at the hacker themselves, but why are we in a position where they, you know, this has to happen. So I just, like I said, if some weird thing where the hacker's watching this, man, I forgive you, dude. I wouldn't want to be in your shoes to have to do that to have, you know, kicks in my life, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
Tough stuff.
Well, thanks for sharing your tale of woe. I'm glad you came out the other side, you know, you're probably more bulletproof now than ever, right? Because of this experience.
More than I want to be, but, you know, it's one of those things, I guess, once it's in place and it's there and I can not forget about it, but I can at least not worry too much about the fact, you know. So systems are monitoring now and I can look at things. I've told you a couple of my network security guys have helped me out with apps and things to use to monitor a little bit tighter than just looking at your modem and logs, which you can do that, you know, but This now I can actually, you know, live monitor if, you know, I can see what connect we're on. I can see if anybody else is trying to connect on my computer, all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, it sucks. It has to be that way. But I guess it's just a little window in the corner for peace of mind. And, you know,
and
the thing is, too, if anybody's out there and you know, wants help, you know, you just look me up. You can find me on the internet. Of course, that's probably the worst part of it. You can find me on the internet.
And they can find you at theexplorographer.com, right?
Yeah, or you can Google A.D. Wheeler because I made sure that I'm there. So, yeah, I should be right at the top of your list. If you Google that A.D. Wheeler, you should find me just fine.
Cool. So, yeah. Cool, man. Well, thanks a lot for taking the time to do this. I know you're, you know, you got a little PTSD going on there.
A little bit. Yeah.
Very understandable. But thanks a lot, man. I'll let you get back to it.
Awesome. Thanks, buddy.
Okay. See ya.